One of the more fascinating things for me as a shrink is to study societal reaction to events. I think you learn a lot more about the reaction to the event than the event itself. Let me be particular. Most of you are probably aware, even if you don't follow any kind of media, there's no way to avoid it, our national voyeuristic, National Enquirer type obsession with this whole Tiger Woods situation. Now, in and of itself, that's significant that our culture, our media, has spent so much time on something like this as opposed to the real events happening that dramatically are going to affect our lives. Nevertheless, that's aside. You all know that. I don't really know who some of these women are that he allegedly was involved with periodically throughout the last X years. Apparently, there were quite a number of them. I happened to stumble across an interview given by one of them. Now, I get a lot of things in my email. I delete virtually all of it without looking at it. But every so often, something comes through and it just catches my interest, and I look at it and think, well, maybe I can make a comment on this or use it on the program. This particular 24-year-old woman was talking about her relationship, if you want to call it that, with Tiger Woods. Well, first of all, she was just so disappointed and so hurt when she found out there were others. Talk about a sense of betrayal. A guy committing adultery on his wife, family, with her, and she just felt like, how could he do this to me with other girls? But that's her. That's she. She said that their relationship, of course, was very special. Of course it was. Very special. Very special. She called it, are you ready? The times they were together, are you ready? She called it sacred. Now let's dissect this for a moment. Peter Kreft from Boston College, one of my absolute favorite Christian social philosophers, says that one of the dangers in our culture now is that when we do something wrong, what used to be considered wrong, we don't acknowledge that it was wrong, but out of human weakness we did it anyway, or we wanted to do it anyway. It was wrong, but we wanted to do it anyway. The trend now is to redefine wrong. I didn't do wrong because, well, our relationship was special. It was sacred. It wasn't adultery. It was two people who had feelings for each other and who were good for each other. And when they were together, it was sacred. And it was meaningful. So you see, it's not wrong. As opposed to saying, yeah, it was wrong, but we did it anyway. We did it out of human desire. We did it out of weakness. We did it out of lack of morality. We just did it. We did it out of not thinking about how it would affect anybody else but ourselves. No. The danger there is that our society is very, very good at taking things that for virtually all of human history and in most all other cultures were clearly defined by most as wrong. Whether you adhered to a Christian morality system or just a socially constructed one to help keep the particular tribe or clan or nation state together, you recognize this went against standard social agreed upon mores. Well, with the help of our media, who pervades everything we think and say and do, we're quite good now at redefining wrong. Wrong is something I don't do. And if it were to be recognized as wrong, obviously, in my context, it needs to be reassessed. If I leave my wife and kids, well, that's not wrong. It's good. It's good because, you see, my kids shouldn't have to live in that conflict. Or you see, I am a better person when I'm happier, and I'll be a better person for my wife and kids, even though I'm not living in the same home. I'll be a better person because I'm happier now. I'm not under that stress. I have to be who I am. So therefore, I gotta leave. Don't you see how good that is? What I'm doing is not only not wrong, but it's good. Now, the danger here, parents, is that your kids are soaked in that mindset. Your kids swim in that sea that basically says, children, these things that your parents might think are wrong, they're really not. It depends on the context. I know this is the old moral relativism thing, but it isn't. It's beyond moral relativism. It's moral celebration. Immoral celebration. We celebrate the wrong because in our minds, it's not wrong for us. It's good. That thinking is everywhere. Your kids are going to get it. They're going to get it from their peers. They're going to get it from school. They're going to get it from new and enlightened health books. They're going to get it everywhere. You got to be aware of it. They're going to get it from any magazine that they read. You got a 16-year-old girl who's reading teen magazines, burn them. Get rid of them. It's what they celebrate. You read any kind. Reader's Digest. I get Reader's Digest. Reader's Digest used to be a very traditional, solidly moral magazine. Well, in the last several years, I've been reading their articles, and there's a little bit of subtle shift in Reader's Digest. You know, we're gonna celebrate two Hollywood people living together because they adopted a kid. Now, they're not married. They live together. And isn't that cool? And it's all just kind of accepted. It's all right. It's just there. You got to really, really sensitize yourself to it, because if you don't, it will dull you. It will take your moral sensibility and sand off any of the edges that made you still feel and recognize something is wrong.